Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents Did You Just Eat That? Two scientists explore double dipping, the 5-second rule, and other food myths in the lab. By Paul Dawson and Brian Sheldon. Read by Matthew Boston. Prologue. Why write a book about the 5-second rule, double dipping, and other food myths? Well, because inquiring minds want to know. The truth is, we've always been puzzled and a little impressed by the faith people seem to have in catchphrases for a host of food handling behaviors. 5 seconds? Says who? And double dipping? George Costanza from Seinfeld tends to be wrong about things. So, could Timmy, the character who calls George out for this practice in a famous episode, be right? The more we thought about it, the more examples of questionable food handling behavior came to mind. Some of them don't even have catchphrases yet, whether it's the communal popcorn tub at the movies or the ping pong ball used in the game of beer pong, most of us don't think twice about what else besides popcorn or beer we might be putting in our mouths. Catchphrases will come in time, but we wanted to take a closer look at what's really going on. That's why, together with our undergraduate students from the Creative Inquiry Program at Clemson University, we conducted bona fide scientific research in a faculty-mentored team environment. This was our way of introducing the scientific method to students who at first may not be interested in research, and getting them to look at common, everyday topics and beliefs about bacteria and food. The questions raised captured our participants' interest in their own and their classmates' behaviors. What we found amazed us, and we decided to share our findings with a wider audience, including you, the listener. After a series of research experiments, we hatched the idea to compile a book on these topics for the everyday reader. In each chapter, we present results from our original published research, along with research by others, on how bacteria are transferred and survive on foods and contact surfaces we are exposed to in everyday life. We hope this audiobook will both enlighten and entertain you. So, how should you enjoy this audiobook? After the introduction, which gives you some basic information about the mysterious microbial world, the chapters are grouped into 3 parts covering how bacteria spread on 1. Different surfaces, 2. Air and water, and 3. Food transport mechanisms. In each chapter, we first share some trivia and background on that particular topic, then describe do-it-yourself experiments we have conducted to answer the question posed. Near the end of each chapter, you'll find other research completed on the same topic to give you a better grasp of the myth or issue being considered. Those who want to know the details or try the experiments themselves, including both materials and methods, can listen to the section titled Science Stuff Ahead. Listeners who are more interested in the results or in discussions contrasting other research can skip those sections. At the end of each chapter, you'll find a section called Things to Consider. In it, we consider serious implications for the findings, as well as some humorous subjects, such as the total amount of dog feces, 20 billion pounds in the United States per year, on the ground where you might drop food. Fun and relevant stuff like that. In this audiobook, you will hear references to statistics in each chapter, such as statistical significance and significance at the 5% level. Statistics is the science concerned with the collection, organization, and analysis of information. To make predictions about populations, we typically use information from a sample taken from the population. Since the sample contains only a small fraction of the population, predictions about the population can sometimes be wrong. When results are said to be statistically significant or statistically different, this implies that the results based on the samples are unlikely to happen by mere chance. The treatment had an effect on results. Being significant at the 5% level, or the significance level is at 5%, means there is, at most, a 5% chance of concluding there is a statistical difference when a difference does not really exist. Although all studies in this audiobook are referred to as experiments, the authors do acknowledge that some of the studies are in fact observational studies. For consistency purposes, we have labeled all studies as experiments. Feel free to jump to a chapter that might interest you and listen to any part, then go back and hear about the details later. Introduction: A Dive into the Mysterious Microbial World. People live in a world where bigger is better, but this audiobook explores the importance of some of the smallest organisms on Earth. As they say in The Happiest Place on Earth, it's a small world after all. We can't see these organisms, but they are there. In fact, there most likely isn't any place you won't find them. Even as you listen to this audiobook, they are all over you, and in you, and covering everything you can see or touch. These organisms make up the world of microbes, bacteria, viruses, fungi, and other invisible living organisms. They're called microorganisms because as individual cells, they are invisible to the naked eye and can be seen only through a microscope. As the writers of this audiobook, we feel that the better you understand the microbial world, the more you will profit from and enjoy the audiobook. We start with a brief overview of the microbial world to give you some of the basics you'll need to follow the discussions and experiments presented throughout. In the chapters that follow, we focus mainly on examining and testing several common food myths, mostly about bacteria. The myths we tackle involve games with food, food handling practices, and human behaviors that might end up transferring microorganisms from one surface to another, and potentially onto you. Many of you probably have seen the hilarious Christmas movie classic National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase, also known as Clark Griswold. Do you remember the scene where the extended family is seated around the dining room table, expectantly waiting to eat Christmas dinner? Remember when Cousin Eddie, yes, the man with a bigger heart than brain, takes a spoonful of sweet potato casserole using the serving spoon, tastes the food, fills his plate, and then returns the serving spoon back to the casserole dish? Although Cousin Eddie's eating antics were hilarious, this table etiquette leaves a lot to be desired. He could greatly benefit from a refresher course on Dining Etiquette 101 as it pertains to safe food handling practices. We've included this example just to demonstrate that human behavior is fickle and not easily controlled. We bet you have observed similar questionable behaviors in people of all ages. People sometimes have odd eating behaviors. Ever heard of xylophagia? Eating wood. Trichophagia? Eating hair. Urophagia? Drinking urine. Or even coprophagia? Eating feces. Back in 2009, astronauts actually drank urine that had been pee-cycled through a $250 million wastewater recycling system on the International Space Station. Depending on the microorganisms that might be present on a surface, for example, on a serving spoon or ping pong ball, which we'll discuss in Chapter 2, the consequences of these odd behaviors could lead to microbial infections or disease for those engaged in such activities. Microorganisms make up a huge and incredibly diverse fraction of all living organisms that occupy every habitat on this earth. Air, soil, rock, deep oceans, boiling hot springs, Arctic snow, plants, animals, humans, food, food contact surfaces, and more. Their diverse habitat illustrates how extremely adaptable microorganisms are to nearly every conceivable environment and condition. Scientists have estimated that the number of bacteria on Earth is approximately 5 times 10 to the power of 30. That's the number 5, followed by 30 zeros. The total biomass of these bacteria exceeds that of all plants and animals. More recent estimates have lowered that number to somewhere between 9.2 times 10 to the power of 29 and 31.7 times 10 to the power of 29, which is still an unbelievably large number. To look at it another way, the number of bacterial cells on and in your body is estimated at 10 times more than the number of all the cells contained in your body. In total, these bacteria weigh about 4 pounds, and most of them reside in your gastrointestinal tract and on your skin. So when your better half hints that you could stand to lose a few pounds, you can blame some of that extra weight on all that pesky bacteria hitchhiking on your body. Equally impressive, the number of bacteria currently residing in and on one person is greater than the total number of people who have ever lived or are currently living on our planet. Ironically, humans in theory have evolved from single-celled bacteria, starting with a process called endosymbiosis. Based on one study, the guesstimated total human population has been set at about 108.2 billion. That's 1.08 times 10 to the power of 11 humans, a far cry from the 5 times 10 to the power of 30 total bacterial estimate. Many microorganisms have very little or seemingly no direct impact on us, while others can directly affect us in either desirable or undesirable ways. Those aiding in the digestive processes in our gastrointestinal tract or in the production of fermented foods, including yogurt, cheeses, and meats, are very desirable. But those microorganisms causing food spoilage and foodborne diseases that can lead to significant personal discomfort and even death are, well, extremely undesirable. Next, we'll briefly discuss the diversity, size, shape, and population of different microorganisms, especially the growth and reproduction of bacteria and viruses, followed by a short discussion of diseases associated with foods. Do not, however, be alarmed by all of this. By far, most microorganisms benefit humans by eliminating waste, helping plants grow, and creating tasty foods. Also reassuring is the estimate that less than 1% of the known bacteria will actually make you sick. After all, most of us don't generally get sick from eating even after consuming 3 meals a day, 365 days a year. But that doesn't mean you should play the odds and blatantly ignore using your common sense and good food handling practices. If you're getting at all squeamish, try to relax. We promise to share the best ways to prevent, reduce, or eliminate bacteria from your food and any food-related environments. At the end of the audiobook, you'll find some good food handling and preparation practices, as well as effective cleaning and sanitation procedures. Diverse microorganisms. The cells that make up plants, animals, and humans exist only as part of multicellular structures. Bacteria, on the other hand, are able to live as single-cell microorganisms in nature. They can carry out all the necessary life functions, such as growth, energy metabolism, reproduction, communication, and movement. Microorganisms have existed since the beginning of time, and they've had billions of years to evolve and adapt to nearly every environment. Therefore, biologists see immense diversity of microorganisms in nature. They also comprise the largest population and biomass of any living thing. While many bacteria have already been identified, many more are yet to be discovered and characterized, and presumably, only about half of the bacterial species can be cultured in the laboratory today. For this reason, it is impossible to truly estimate the enormity of their population and total impact they have had on this earth and on people. As you will hear in the next section, microorganisms come in various shapes and sizes, even though they are all very small. Thanks to their genetic diversity and ability to acquire energy from nearly every conceivable source, including light, different species of bacteria have been discovered in nearly every habitat and extreme environment on Earth. These hardy little bugs can even be found in many unlikely places such as boiling hot springs, 235 degree Fahrenheit, ice-covered lakes, glaciers, and polar seas, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, salty bodies of water, 15% to 32% salt, harsh acidic and alkaline water and soil environments, pH of 0 and 12 respectively, and even environments lacking oxygen, for example, the anaerobic bacteria Clostridium. Size, shape, and populations. Scientists call the study of these very small organisms microbiology. In the late 1600s, the Dutch scientist Antony van Leeuwenhoek became the first person to catch a glimpse of these tiny creatures. Being a draper by trade, he was a dealer of cloth. He was greatly interested in each thread of the material. He wanted to examine an individual thread up close, so Leeuwenhoek constructed the first crude microscope. After several refinements, he had a device that could magnify an object some 275 times. His most powerful microscope now resides at the Utrecht Museum in the Netherlands. As Leeuwenhoek perfected his gadget, a whole new world was revealed to him. These once imperceptible beings were suddenly out in the open. He was amazed and captivated by discovering these invisible creatures, as well as many other treasures revealed by the microscope. Leeuwenhoek reported seeing a great multitude of living creatures in one drop of water amounting to no less than 8 or 10,000, and they appeared to my eye through the microscope as common sand does to the naked eye. He called these microscopic living creatures animalcules, and in 1683 he reported seeing different types of animalcules in spittle and tooth scrapings. Have you ever wondered about that morning breath of yours and considered why just after waking up was not a good time for that morning kiss? Well, you can blame much of that halitosis breath on germs, the animalcules that grow on those pearly whites of yours while you were sleeping. Now, animalcules is a word you don't hear every day. It sounds more like a new toy or type of animal cracker. Spittle has come to describe those tiny droplets of saliva that become airborne during conversation. In a sentence, it is used like this. I was talking to my boss, and spittle flew out of my mouth and landed on her nose. Leeuwenhoek's 1683 letter to the Royal Society of London contained drawings of bacteria showing their common shapes, including bacilli, rod-shaped, cocci, circular, and spirillum, spiral-shaped. Microbes such as bacteria and viruses are considerably smaller than plant, animal, and human cells. Bacteria are typically around 10 times smaller than a human cell. Most viruses are 100 times smaller. So, for instance, if a bacterial cell were the size of a cat or small dog, then a human cell would be the size of an adult human. Using the same scale, viruses would be about the size of a mouse. Biologists generally measure the size of microorganisms in units of micrometers, also called microns, abbreviated as UM, which are 1/1,000,000th of a meter, or 0.00004 inch. To give you some idea of this scale, the period at the end of this sentence is around 0.5 millimeters, mm, or 500 microns. An average-sized round-shaped bacteria, about 1 micron in diameter, is about 500 times smaller than a period, meaning it would take about 500 bacteria to fill one period. Bacterial cells can range from around 0.15 microns to over 700 microns in diameter, so the largest cells are nearly visible with the naked eye. The diameter of viruses ranges from 0.02 to 0.3 microns. Even though microorganisms are incredibly small, they make up very large populations in nature. For example, 1 gram of soil typically contains 40 million bacterial cells, and 1 milliliter, ml, of fresh water, say from a river or lake, can contain 1 million bacterial cells. To illustrate the full scope of these numbers, suppose we took the estimated population of bacteria on this earth, 5 times 10 to the power of 30, times the average size of a bacterium, around 1.5 microns, and then divided this product by the average distance from the earth to the moon in micrometers, 238,900 miles, or 3.84 times 10 to the power of 14 microns. If we then lined up the total bacteria population side by side, they would account for 9.76 times 10 to the power of 15 round trips to and from the moon. Now that, dear listener, is a lot of bacteria. Besides their small size, bacterial cells come in several shapes, including a sphere, termed a coccus, plural is cocci, rod or cylinder, termed bacillus or bacilli, curved rod, and spiral. These organisms can exist as single cells, or they may be grouped together to form pairs of cells. We call them diplococci. Short or long chains, such as streptococcus, irregular or grape-like clusters, staphylococcus, filamentous bacteria, long, thin cells or chains of cells, or budding and appendage-shaped cells. Most of these bacterial cells exist in nature as actively growing and reproducing organisms when conditions are suitable. However, when the conditions become unsuitable, such as temperature extremes, drying conditions, or lack of nutrients, some species of bacteria like Clostridium and Bacillus can produce highly resistant dormant spores through a survival process we call sporulation. These specialized cells are considerably more resistant than actively growing cells to heat, harsh chemicals, disinfectants, and even radiation. Unfortunately for us, this sporulation process of some bacteria makes it more challenging to kill them with typical surface disinfectants, like those used in hospitals, restaurants, and food processing plants. When conditions become more favorable for growth, these spores will germinate to an actively growing vegetative state. Then they can cause food spoilage and shorten product shelf life, as well as potential foodborne illness problems for the food industry and consumer. Viruses. We're sure that anyone listening to this chapter has had the common cold or flu, or has heard of polio, smallpox, Ebola, and HIV/AIDS. All these and more diseases are caused by viruses. Even though scientists and doctors have made great strides in eradicating some of these diseases through vaccination programs and other treatments, Ebola and AIDS, acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, and other viral diseases still cause many deaths around the world. Examples of two worldwide pandemic diseases involving viruses are the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic and the HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, pandemic. The Spanish flu killed over 100 million people, or about 5% of the world's population in 1918. Today, an estimated 38.6 million people worldwide have the HIV virus living in them. More relevant to this audiobook are foodborne diseases caused by viruses. Although when it comes to some human behaviors and practices, we cannot rule out the transmission of other viruses not generally associated with foods. The most common foodborne illness, or gastroenteritis, a diarrhea and vomiting illness, is caused by the norovirus, commonly known as the stomach flu, or the winter vomiting bug. This virus is highly contagious and can tear through cruise ships, classrooms, and other crowded spaces such as daycare centers. We'll bet that all of you have heard about those cruises from hell, where hundreds of vacationers contracted the norovirus while aboard the ship. We get it. Sitting in the bathroom is not the most desirable place to spend your vacation. According to estimates from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, the norovirus causes around 19 to 21 million cases of acute gastroenteritis annually in the United States, or over half of all foodborne disease outbreaks. Viruses are small infectious agents that replicate or reproduce only within living cells of other organisms. You might call them parasites, since they cannot reproduce on their own but require a host cell. The average virus is about 1/100th the size of the average bacterium, or between 0.02 and 0.3 microns. Viruses are capable of infecting all living organisms, plants, animals, and bacteria. Millions of viruses are found in nature, but only around 5,000 have been characterized in detail. Like bacteria, viruses are found in nearly every ecosystem on Earth, and they are the most abundant type of living organism. They are able to exist, but not reproduce, outside the host organism for extended periods of time. so they can be transmitted between hosts. When outside of a host, they exist as independent viral particles called virions. Virions contain DNA or RNA, a protein coat, and sometimes an outside envelope. They come in many shapes, ranging from simple helical and icosahedral forms to much more complex structures. Notice the shape of the bacteriophage virus, which infects bacteria. It might remind you of a lunar landing craft, or maybe a spider. When it is outside a host cell, the virion is metabolically inactive, like a dormant bacterial spore, but it can be transmitted between host cells. Once it's injected into the host cell, for example, one of your cells, virus replication can begin. This process consists of producing new copies of the virus genome and synthesizing the viral coat components. Viruses are clever in that while they are in the host, they depend heavily on the host's cell structure and metabolic components. For example, they are capable of redirecting the host's metabolism to support their own replication and production of new virions. Now that's what we call invasion of the body snatchers. Ultimately, these new virions are released from the host, and the process continues in another host cell. You'll learn more about viruses later in this chapter when we discuss foodborne illnesses. What makes microorganisms tick? Like people, all microorganisms require nutrients to survive. In more technical terms, they have defined nutritional requirements that they must obtain from their environment to sustain their growth and reproduction. All cells, including our own, require a carbon source, generally an organic one, that can be supplied by many nutrients, including amino acids, from proteins, fatty acids, from fats, organic acids, sugars, from carbohydrates, nitrogen bases, and other organic compounds. Some bacteria are autotrophic, able to make their own food, and are even capable of drawing some or all of their carbon requirements from atmospheric carbon dioxide, CO2. Scientists have taken advantage of these organisms' odd appetite for CO2 in several interesting applications. For example, Russian scientists have experimented with using the autotrophic bacteria Ralstonia eutropha for scrubbing carbon dioxide from their manned spacecraft and to serve as a potential food source for their astronauts. Closer to home, Massachusetts Institute of Technology scientists have been testing a genetically modified form of this same bacteria to make alcohol fuels from carbon dioxide and hydrogen for use in transportation. Another nutritional requirement of microorganisms is nitrogen, which is critical for synthesizing protein and nucleic acids, such as DNA. In nature, nitrogen is generally available as ammonia, nitrate, or nitrogen gas. Most bacteria can use ammonia and some nitrate as their nitrogen source, but only nitrogen-fixing bacteria, commonly found in the soil, can use nitrogen gas. Without these nitrogen-fixing bacteria that convert nitrogen gas to ammonia or other nitrogen-containing compounds, farmers could not grow their crops, and life would not exist as we know it. As an example, to ensure optimum growth of legumes, beans, peas, soybeans, and others, seed companies typically inoculate their seeds with commercial cultures of species of the nitrogen-fixing bacterium Rhizobium. Other nutrient requirements are the minerals essential to growth, called macronutrients, phosphorus, sulfur, potassium, magnesium, calcium, sodium, not an essential nutrient for all microorganisms, and iron. Besides these essential macronutrients, many microorganisms require very small amounts of micronutrients, referred to as trace elements, to maintain critical cell functions. A few of these are boron, cobalt, copper, manganese, and zinc. Other growth factors that microorganisms must have are vitamins and amino acids. As you can see, their nutrient requirements are not that different from ours. Many organisms can synthesize some of these compounds. Other organisms can obtain them only from the environment, such as the gastrointestinal tract of animals and humans, plant tissues, and the soil, to name a few. Besides nutritional requirements, the ability of microorganisms, except viruses, to grow in an environment such as the milk stored in your refrigerator.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?